Today I'm continuing a series called The Healing Jesus. Last Sunday I talked about healing from the perspective of God's will. So many people have asked the question, is it God's will for me to be healed? And I would ask the question, well, how do we know what the will of God is? Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6. I'm going to give you the answer. John 6:38. Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So according to the Bible, everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did was the will of God. So if you want to know what the will of God is, you can look at the things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus did. Well, what did he do? Acts 16:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Everybody say, doing good. And healing all. Say, healing all. That's what Jesus did. He came about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Tell somebody, Jesus is the healer. Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Study the things that Jesus did and you will discover who God really is. Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that Jesus is the perfect representation of God. He is the perfect representation of the will of God, and he is the perfect representation of the love of God towards humanity. And time again, Jesus healed every sick person that came to him. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 12:15 says that great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Luke 6:19 says that the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. I want you to notice that there's not a single time in all of the Bible where somebody came to Jesus for healing and Jesus said, I'm not going to heal you because it's the will of God for you to be sick. Never did anybody come to Jesus, even in the multitudes and the thousands of people that he ministered healing to. Jesus never stopped at anybody and said, I'm going to leave you sick because I'm trying to teach you something. No. Jesus encountered sick people and he healed them. Jesus healed everybody. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed. He was the healer then, and Jesus is still the healer today. It is the will of God for you to be healed. In Exodus 15:26, God told Israel, I am the Lord who heals you. Tell somebody, he is the Lord, your healer. Tell somebody else, he is the Lord, your healer. Psalm 103, verse 3 says that he forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. Healing is a wonderful benefit that belongs to you as a child of God. God is good and he wants to bring healing to your life. I'll tell you one thing, the devil doesn't want you to be healthy and well. Come on, somebody. We talk a lot about the discerning the will of God, but we don't talk about the devil. The devil wants you sick. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. God is good and he wants you to be healed. It's the devil that steals and kills and destroys, but our God is the author of life. Jesus went around healing people everywhere. And he said in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. I am the Lord, your healer. And he also said, I am the Lord and I change not. So that was last Sunday. And today, in our final moments together, I want to examine some of the man-made barriers to healing. And let me start with a disclaimer. This is a difficult truth, but I have to say it. I thank God for the many people that I've seen healed. Amen. I've seen miracles with my own eyes. Amen. I've seen many people healed by the power of God. Amen. But I also remember some good, godly men and women who did not receive healing. And I'm man enough to admit that I can't explain it. And I don't have an answer for you, but I'll tell you this. When my personal observations do not line up with my understanding of the truth of the Word of God, this is what I do. I remember Deuteronomy 29, 29. Can y'all remember that? Come on, say Deuteronomy 29, 29. Okay, can y'all remember that verse? You need to remember that verse. When what you see doesn't line up with the truth of what God teaches us, look at Deuteronomy 29, 29, and it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Remember that. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So there are some mysteries that we cannot and will not know and understand in this life. Those secret things belong to God. But on the other hand, there are things which God has revealed to us, and that's where I'm going to spend my time teaching today. I've identified in the Bible five man-made barriers to healing, and I'm going to address them this morning. Yeah. But before I teach on the barriers to healing, I'm going to give you one rule, okay? Tell somebody, there's one rule. Okay, this is my one rule for you today. You are not allowed to judge other people. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't judge me. Tell somebody else, you better not judge me either. That is my rule to you today. When I talk about the man-made barriers to healing, I don't want you looking around the room trying to diagnose people and figure out why they're not healed. You don't get to do that. You're not allowed to judge other people. This teaching is for you. This is a self-diagnostic teaching. So when I teach you, examine your own life to see if you have these barriers to healing. But it's not your right to judge other people. You see, the disciples made that mistake in John chapter 9. It says that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Amen. Just because somebody's sick doesn't mean that they're living in sin. I'm going to camp out over on this side today. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just because somebody's sick doesn't mean they sinned. So you don't get to judge other people. You don't get to diagnose other people. This is for you and you only. This sermon is just between me and you and God. Nobody else allowed, all right? Okay, well, let me give you five barriers to healing. And again, open up your heart and listen to what the Holy Spirit would speak to you this morning. And I pray that you would allow God to deal with you in your own life, to examine yourself. Five barriers to healing. Number one is ignorance. Because what you don't know can hurt you. And this is why I spent the whole first week of this series talking about it being the will of God for you to receive healing. It is God's will for you to be healed, and many people simply don't understand that truth. Isaiah 5:13, God said, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 basically says the same thing. It says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Yes. Many people simply do not know that it is God's will to heal them. Such was the case of the leper in Matthew chapter 8. It says that when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This man did not doubt the ability of God to heal him. He did not doubt that God was able, but this is what he didn't know. He didn't know if he was willing. He said, "If you are willing, if it's your will, if you want to, you can make me clean." And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I want to be cleansed." And he was immediately cleansed. That settles the issue for me once and once for all. But a lot of people are like that man with leprosy in Matthew chapter 8. They don't know that it's the will of God, that God wants to heal them. The only time in the New Testament where somebody wasn't healed was in Mark chapter 9, when the disciples couldn't cast a devil out of a young boy. And even then, Jesus stepped in and cast out the devil and healed him. Jesus never turned anybody away for healing. And ultimately, he purchased our healing at Calvary. And Isaiah 53 verse 5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Come on, say this. By his stripes, I am healed. Say it again. By his stripes, I am healed. Come on, say it again. Some of y'all need to walk around quoting Isaiah 53:5 all day long and let faith build up in your spirit. So with every one of these barriers to healing, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance that we would deal with every one of these barriers. I believe that some strongholds are going to be pulled down today, that people's healing is going to be released, miracles are going to be released, the power of God is going to be released in your life as we tear down these barriers. So let's pray. Repeat after me as we pray. Lord,
we acknowledge
the sin of ignorance.
We
fail
to know
and understand your word.
Forgive us.
Help us
understand your will.
Because
you
are the Lord my
healer.
Amen. Five barriers to healing. Number one is ignorance. Number two is unbelief. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And I think all too often in Christendom, in Christianity, in church circles, that we view unbelief as a harmless weakness. Oh, I'm just not strong in my faith. Oh, I love the Lord, but I just don't know if I can believe all that. I just don't think I'm on that level yet. We brush it off as a weakness that's harmless, that doesn't really make a difference in our lives. We try to mitigate and minimize the consequences of unbelief, but unbelief in the Bible is serious business. The Bible calls it the sin of unbelief. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The Bible does not classify unbelief as a harmless weakness. The Bible calls it evil. Listen, doubt is the enemy of faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you come to God, you have to believe that he's real and that he's good and that he wants to bless you. There's never an instance in the Bible when Jesus could not and did not heal sick people, but there was a time when he could not do any great miracles. Let's read that in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, it says in verse 1 that Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. So Jesus was back in Goldsboro. He was in the parade at Goldsboro High School. And it says, the next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? But many scoffed and said, oh, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jonas and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. What an eye-opening passage. Jesus Christ, with all power and all authority in heaven and in earth, do you realize that by Jesus the world was made? All things were created by him, including us. And it says that very same Jesus, who had all power and all authority in heaven and in earth, was limited in what he could do to help the people of Nazareth. Why was Jesus limited? Because of their unbelief. How do we deal with unbelief? By growing in our faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do we grow in our faith and our walk with God? By continually hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. I love this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the spiritual ability to hear comes through the word of God. So that when the doctor says one thing, in the natural, you're hearing, you're going to die. But when you've been in the word of God with your spiritual ears, you're hearing another report that says you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You see, when you've been in the word of God, you hear things from a different perspective, to where the world is saying one thing and the devil is saying one thing and the negative Nancys are saying one thing, but in your spirit, you hear what the word of God is saying. If you are weak in your faith and struggling with unbelief, you need to dig into the word of God and find out what the promises of God are for you and lay hold of those promises. You need to go around speaking Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I am healed. You need to quote Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord who heals you. You need to cling to Psalm 103:3, that God forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance for the sin of unbelief. Will you just lift up your hands and pray with me? Lord, we acknowledge the sin of unbelief. Forgive us for doubting your word. I believe that you are God. And I believe that you are good. And I believe that you're my healer. Help me to grow in faith according to your word, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Five barriers to healing. Number one is ignorance. Number two is unbelief. Number three is unconfessed sin. Now, every one of these could be categorized as sin, really, because sin is anything that falls short of the will of God. But this is specific to your life. If you have issues in your life, in your heart, that you know are not pleasing to God, and you haven't repented of that sin, confessed that sin, and gone to God about that sin, that sin will block the blessings of God in your life. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Listen, just because you're sick doesn't mean you sinned, but many times sickness comes as a consequence to sin. We see this in the Apostle Paul's instructions for taking communion. This is why I read this every time we do communion. 1 Corinthians 11:29. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Sickness is a consequence of unrepented sin. In John chapter 14, when Jesus healed a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, listen to what he said. It said that afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well." Listen to what Jesus said. "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Ooh, that's a strong warning from Jesus. I've healed you. I've delivered you. I've set you free. Now you need to repent of your sins. Don't walk in sin anymore. Let something worse come upon you. Because there are always spiritual and natural consequences for sin. One of the greatest symbols of healing in the Bible is the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. One of my favorite Bible stories. The people were suffering from venomous snake bites, and God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up before the people. And the Bible says that everybody who looked upon the serpent was healed. And I love it because Jesus identified himself with that brazen serpent. He said in John 3:14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Jesus identified himself many times in the New Testament with the serpent that Moses lifted up. He said, "If I be lifted up in the earth, I will draw all men to myself." Yes. Jesus, just like that serpent in the Old Testament, when you look to Jesus, he will heal you. Yes. But I want to go back to the Old Testament with the Israelites and Moses, and I want to ask the question, why were the people cursed with snake bites in the first place? Because they murmured and complained against Moses. They were coming against those in spiritual authority. Now, I know that none of y'all are coming against me. I know that ain't never happened in this church. But I'm telling you this just in case you're talking bad about your previous pastor. Because spiritual authority is something that God takes very seriously. I know that there are some creeps and some punks and some perverts in the pulpit. I've met some of them. I'll tell you this. I know people in positions of ministry that as a man, I have no respect for them whatsoever. But I will not come against their office because I have respect for God's authority. The Israelites were cursed because they murmured against Moses and the Lord. Look what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:21. He said, "He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Some of you, and I felt this very strongly as I was preparing this message, and I have nobody in mind. I ain't been around the rumor mill or nothing. I don't know anything, but this is led of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you're living under a curse because you're going around bad-mouthing pastors and churches. By the way, if you've been talking about me, don't come and tell me. I don't want to know that. Well, Pastor, God touched my heart. I just want to let you know I've been writing your number on the bathroom stalls at Walmart. I don't want to know that. Don't. If you've been talking about me, don't come to me. You take that thing to God. That's between you and the Lord. Because I still think you're perfect, so don't prove me wrong, all right? But I felt led of God to address this issue this morning because for somebody, that's your roadblock to healing. Maybe that's not your struggle. Maybe it's some other area of sin. But whatever the sin, the good news is that you don't have to live under the curse of sin any longer. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to ask Pastor Rob if he'll come to the keyboard this morning. I want us to take a time before I lead you in a prayer of repentance, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us individually. Will you just close your eyes for a moment of prayer? Let's take this moment to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Holy Spirit, speak to every heart here. God, if there's any sin in us, God, if there's any rebellion in us, if there's anything inside of us that's not pleasing to You, Lord, reveal it to us now in Your presence. God, reveal it to us now by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want our lives to be pleasing to You. Lord, I want to see every barrier, every stronghold torn down in the name of Jesus. Take just a moment to listen to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to speak to your heart. The Bible says that God chastens those He loves. Allow the Lord to correct you for a moment before we move any further. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts.
I am the God who healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word and heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
I want to lead you in this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord, we acknowledge our sins. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Make me clean. Father, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your mercy. I receive your healing. In Jesus' name. We're almost done. There's just two more, and then we're going to close. Five barriers to healing. Number one is ignorance. Number two is unbelief. Number three is unconfessed sin. And number four is unclean spirits. Now, most of you are probably thinking, well, I'm saved. That's not me. But before you tune me out, I want you to know this area may affect your life more than you realize. Many people open themselves, even Christians, open themselves to the influence of evil spirits without even realizing it. Think about this. Even in Israel, every time Jesus healed groups of people, He often had to cast out devils before He could heal them. Healing and deliverance go hand in hand because many, many times sickness is connected to evil spirits. In the Old Testament, evil spirits were worshipped as pagan gods. Listen to what God commanded His people in Exodus 23:24. He said, "You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and bless your water, and I will take away sickness from the midst of you." Too many children of God have pagan pillars in their life. They have areas of influence where they've opened up and allowed evil spirits to gain access and avenues to block the healing and the flow of the blessings of God. Heard of a young man who just couldn't get a spiritual breakthrough. For years and years and years, he wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit and he couldn't receive it. It was as if he felt so close. He knew the Word of God. He knew it was for him and knew it was a blessing that comes from Jesus by faith, but he just couldn't receive it. Then finally, his pastor asked him, he said, "Have you ever been to a fortune teller?" And he kind of laughed and he said, "Well, yeah, as a teenager, I went to see a fortune teller, but it was just a joke. And you know, I was just messing around with my friends." He said, "Well, would you be willing to repent of that?" He said, "Yes, Pastor." So he led him in a prayer of repentance. And as soon as that prayer was ended, God baptized him in the Holy Spirit. He began to pray in a heavenly language. Listen, if you've been involved with fortune tellers, if you've been involved with psychics, and I know most of them are scams, but some of them are the real deal. Some of them are evil spirits. The Bible calls them spirits of divination. If you've messed with fortune telling, with psychics, even if it was just for fun, horoscopes, playing with Ouija boards or seances or certain types of music or movies, these are all avenues in which evil spirits gain influence into your life. Now, I'm going to tread lightly on this because I'm not here to be legalistic and give you a bunch of rules and laws. Okay? I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything that you can and can't do, but this is what I am saying to you. If you're watching something, if you're listening to something, or if you're doing something or around something that makes you uneasy and uncomfortable, you need to stay away from it, because that's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction in your life. And the Holy Spirit is not trying to make you miss out on fun. He's trying to protect you, because the Holy Spirit sees that there are unclean spirits, that there are ungodly spirits involved in those activities. And He's convicting you not to harm you, but to protect you. As a loving father reaches down to stop and protect his child, if I saw my son Hudson running into the street, I would probably jump and tackle him. Why? Because I love him and want to protect him. He thought playing in the road was fun, but I had a different perspective. And when you get a knot in your stomach and you get the feeling that I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be listening to this, or I shouldn't be around this, that's the Holy Spirit reaching out, trying to stop you from walking into harm's way. Listen, evil spirits are real. And they are seeking open doors into your life. Listen, do not open the door to them. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Derek Prince, a great British scholar, brilliant man, great minister, great Bible teacher. He was praying with a woman in Australia. The woman had come to him and his wife Ruth, and they were praying for her. She was holding what looked like a newborn baby, but the baby was nearly 2 months old. Baby wouldn't eat anything. She said, "Pastor, we've tried everything. The baby's not responding to medical treatment at all. Stuff that normally works on other children is not working with our daughter. Our baby needs healing." So as Derek Prince and his wife Ruth were praying for that infant, God gave Ruth a word of wisdom. And she asked the woman, she said, "Is your husband a Freemason?" Out of nowhere, she felt led to ask her, "Is your husband a Freemason?" She said, well, yes, he is. You see, Freemasons say that they are a religious and a spiritual, but there's some witchcraft mixed up in there. There's a ceremony for the Royal Arch degree that involves invoking the name of Jabalon. I'm just going to expose it this morning. I know it might be uncomfortable, but this might be somebody's breakthrough right now. In the Royal Arch ceremony of the Freemasons, it's in the name of Jabalon. And it combines the name of Yahweh, Jehovah, with the name Baal, and with the name On, which is the Old Testament name for the Egyptian god Osiris. So they're combining the worship of God with Baal, with Osiris, pagan gods, mixing it with the holy name of God. And the Bible says that's an abomination unto God. So Ruth Prince got a word of wisdom. The baby's father's involved in Freemasonry, and she said, "Would you be willing to repent of that and not participate in that anymore?" They said, "Absolutely." They prayed that prayer of repentance, and instantly God healed their daughter, and she went home and took 3 bottles that afternoon. Listen, y'all, this stuff is real. I'm not trying to be all weird on you, but I'm just trying to be practical and tell you that evil spirits are real, and the devil is subtle. The devil is clever. Okay? That's why we have to be alert and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Again, when you feel that check in your spirit that this is something's not right here, you need to listen to that voice, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. In Exodus 23, 32, it said, "You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." Every time the people of Israel failed in the Old Testament, it was because they began to worship pagan gods. They opened the door for evil spirits, and they wreaked havoc in their lives. I'm gonna do one more. And if I make you mad, you're welcome. Okay? Hinduism is a fascinating religion because there are more than 300 million deities in Hinduism. Okay? But there are three Hindu gods that they call the Trinity of Hinduism. They're the three that they assign the greatest power and authority. And that's Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the preserver, and Shiva, the destroyer. Now, I'm about to tell you something you might not know. But Shiva, the destroyer, actually has a worship ritual assigned to this pagan god. And it's called yoga. I told you the devil's clever. He'll make it seem harmless. According to American Hindu University, you cannot separate yoga from Hinduism because it is a Hindu spiritual ceremony. It includes meditation, it includes Hindu chants, and central to the practice of yoga is the idea of channeling energy, which is not a Christian principle. It's a pagan principle. Even the word yoga is a Sanskrit word that means to yoke. But the question is, who are you yoking yourself to? All of the motions of yoga are considered to be offerings to the pantheon of Hindu gods. But above all else, they honor Shiva, the destroyer. I don't know about you. First of all, I'm too fat to do yoga. But I'm not about to yoke myself to the destroyer, because the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus came that I would have life, and life more abundant. Even the word namaste is a Hindu religious saying that the gods in me honor the gods in you. Y'all think about it. I'm not making this stuff up. You can go research it for yourself. But the enemy is subtle. Things that seem benign, things that seem harmless, are not so. Listen, whatever the case may be, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and let God deal with your heart. The good news is that if you have opened up your door to unclean spirits, you can be free this morning by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the power of Jesus is greater than all the power of the enemy. And I believe that as we pray this prayer of repentance, God is going to break those chains in Jesus' name. Will you throw up your hands and pray with me? Lord Jesus, I love you. I believe in you. And I choose to serve you only. If I've opened the door for unclean spirits, I ask you to forgive me. And break their power over me. Wash me in your blood. Right now, you became a curse for me to set me free from every curse. Set me free right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking all the power of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking every chain, every bondage, every stronghold. One more and we're going to leave this morning. Five barriers to healing. Ignorance, unbelief, unconfessed sin, unclean spirits, and the last one is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is not only an obstacle to healing, unforgiveness will actually make you sick. Medical studies have found that unforgiveness leads to high blood pressure, chronic headaches, and even heart disease. Unforgiveness. According to Dr. Charles Raisin of Emory University, bitterness has the same health effects on the heart as smoking cigarettes. Listen, if you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, if you feel like you've hit a spiritual wall when you can't go any further, if you pray, God, use me, and it seems like nothing happens, listen, it's not because God doesn't want to use you. God wants to use you. He's ready to use you, but maybe you're so caught up in bitterness and unforgiveness that God can't use you. Listen, you've got to let go of unforgiveness. Come on, tell somebody, let it go. Tell somebody else, you got to let it go. What does it mean to forgive? It means to tear up the IOUs. Y'all know what an IOU is? If you know what a checkbook is, you probably know what an IOU is. But if you're under 20, you might not know what either of those things are. But let's say that I owe John $5. What I would do is I would write on a piece of paper, I owe you $5, and I give him that. That's how checkbooks were invented. So I give him an IOU, and he holds that piece of paper, and he can come to me at any time and say, you owe me $5. You see, when people hurt us, and when people do us wrong, they're depriving us of what they owe us. Because we all owe each other love and respect and kindness and compassion and patience. And some of you, you have a stack of IOUs from people who have genuinely hurt you and wronged you. Some of you, you've been hurt the most by people closest to you. You've been betrayed. You've been lied to. You've been abused. And you're holding a stack of IOUs of things that people should have done for you, the ways that people should have treated you, and they didn't. And you've got all these IOUs walking around. All of this baggage. What is forgiveness? It's tearing up the IOUs. And that's easier said than done. Because when somebody wrongs you, they genuinely owe you. More than an apology, they ought to make good on what they did. But most people won't do that. See, God doesn't want you to live under the burden of unforgiveness. Because if you hold on to unforgiveness, if you hold on to those IOUs and you read those IOUs on a daily basis and you think about the IOUs, you'll become bitter. And it'll block the blessings. It'll block the flow of healing. It'll block the flow of the Spirit of God in your life. Somebody, you need to, right now in this service, you need to get set free. You need to tear up your IOUs in the name of Jesus. And here's the wonderful thing about God. God is sitting up in heaven, and he's got a whole bunch of IOUs with your name on it. And he said, I'll make you a deal. You tear up yours, I'll tear up mine. That's what Jesus said. If you forgive other people their trespasses, if you forgive other people when they've wronged you, your Father in heaven will forgive your offenses. So right now, we're going to tear up the IOUs in the name of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart. Throw up your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for not forgiving others. Forgive me for holding on to bitterness. Lord, they wronged me. But right now, by faith, I tear up the IOUs. Lord, I forgive them because you forgave me. Help me to let go of bitterness. Fill my heart with love. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand this morning? If you need healing, will you just throw up your hands and just receive healing right now in the name of Jesus? Lord, I thank you, God, for removing every barrier. Lord, for removing every roadblock, every obstacle, every stronghold. Lord, I thank you for setting us free from ignorance. God, helping us to know the truth. God, I thank you, Lord, for setting us free from unbelief. God, may we all grow in our faith in you, believing and standing on the promises of God. Lord, I thank you for breaking the power of sin off of us. Lord, I thank you for breaking the power of every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for breaking the stronghold of unforgiveness now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your healing power flow. Lord, all across this room, Lord, may your healing power flow right now in the name of Jesus. Let's just take a moment and worship and receive healing by faith.
I am the God.
Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord, our healer.
I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word and heal your disease.
Come on, receive healing now by faith.
I am the Lord, your healer.
That's what your Heavenly Father says. I am the Lord, your healer.
I am the God.
Receive it now in the name of Jesus.
I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word and heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Come on, declare that one more time. I am the Lord, your healer.
I am the God. I am the God.
Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, that you are God and you have not changed.
I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word and heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Thank you, Jesus.